I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So many times, the singing has enabled us to perform our duties before the Lord.
Elizabeth Elliot says, I realize that I don't spend nearly enough time praising God. I think hymns are a wonderful help. So let me just make that tiny suggestion that you begin your day with thanking the Lord. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Discipline, the Glad Surrender. Helping you face your journey with joy today, here's your friend, Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my friend, Arlita Winston, about her five children and some of the lessons that she learned as a mother who has raised what I think is almost an exemplary family, a family that I have written about in a chapter in my book, Love Has a Price Tag. The chapter is called Five Kids and Peace, that describes a weekend that I spent in their home. And Arlita told us the other day about the fact that she is kind of a tough mother, and in teaching the children the consequences of their own choices and their own failures, she has at times done things which other parents would throw up their hands and say, oh, that's horrible, that's cruel. For example, if the child misses the school bus, it has happened on more than one occasion that that child has had to walk to school, even in the pouring rain. If a child forgets his lunch, forgetting, of course, is not a deliberate action, but it's something that we all do, and we've got to just try to write notes to ourselves or do something to keep ourselves from forgetting. And so, on more than one occasion, a child has had to go without lunch. I'm sure that some of our listeners may have thought that Arlita is a bit too tough, and maybe those poor kids are so regimented and so beaten down that they can't possibly be full persons. Well, I can testify that they are most emphatically full, very well-rounded, and highly socialized children. I was telling you, my radio audience, about some of the talents that Arlita herself has, singing and playing the piano and painting and sculpture and being the hostess with the mostest. Tell us a little bit about some of the talents and special interests of your children, Arlita.
I immediately think of music, not so much that we're so talented, Betty, but music has been such an important part of our life in just bringing a wholeness and joy to our family. And we've always sung, but one day I decided we need to all play instruments. And I went down to a music store, and let's see, the children were 5, 7, goodness, I can't remember. The youngest were 5 and 7, and the others were early teenagers. And I picked up some recorders, some bass and soprano and tenor, alto recorders, and a guitar. And I came home, and I passed them out to the children, and I said, now we are going to learn how to play these. And I took the alto recorder with the Trapp family instruction booklet up to my bath that night, and I soaked. And I soaked every night for the next, I don't know how many months, and I kept one lesson ahead. I tootled away in that bathtub learning the next fingering for the next song, and then the next day I would teach the children.
Arlita, you are too much. Go on.
And so we all began playing these duets and trios, and even Joe got into it for a while. And Joe Jr. had the guitar, and I couldn't really teach him for very long on that, so we got an instructor to start teaching us guitar and recorder. Pretty soon, all of us were taking lessons, and all of us making very happy music. And then we graduated, and Sam took the cello, and Stan the clarinet. And there were times in the household that it was just sheer cacophony in all the different rooms. But Mom was practicing with the kids. And that made for some very happy times.
Well, the whole family sings most lustily together. Oh. I've been in your house when you've sung as soon as you sit down at the table, or is it before you sit down? I've forgotten.
No, as first thing we do before we ask the blessing is we sing a song of praise, and Joe leads out. And he didn't used to have a wonderful voice, but I'm telling you, it just gets better and better all the time. I think with music, there just comes a new freedom, and we've learned to worship the Lord together as a family.
Everybody can sing if they come from a singing family. People who think they can't sing, it's simply because they've never had the opportunity.
I was reminded of a verse in Psalms the other day when I was reading. It goes like this: "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." And I thought, that's been it over these years. So many times, the singing has enabled us to perform our duties before the Lord.
That's a great point. I certainly would never have thought of that from that particular verse. I have enjoyed the enthusiasm with which the Winston family sings. They were staying in my house while we were gone. My husband and I were away, so the Winstons were using our house, and the young man, seminary student who lives in our house, told us when we got home, he said, "What a family you had here." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "I never heard such singing in my life." Now, what else do they do, Arlita? I know at least one of them has a scientific mind.
Yes, our son Joe, he started in science. At first, he thought he was going to go into medicine and changed, and now is an electrical engineer and designing computers. And he has a little girl now, Ashlyn Olivia. But he's not just a scientist. He loved music. He's the one who got the guitar that day that I brought all the instruments home and just poured himself into that, learned how to do all different types of guitar playing. And it's been such a joy to just sit and listen to him play from his heart on that guitar.
Does anybody paint like you?
I really stopped my painting some time ago when a whole lot of other duties came in, but yes, a number of them have picked that up. Sarah, in particular, has done some beautiful watercolors and etchings and oils. Some of her pictures that she did as a teenager, some of her first ones, are hanging in her daddy's office in the medical practice. And she's continuing it now. She's picked it back up now, incidentally, after she's had her baby, and
really?
You would think that you wouldn't have time to do that, but I assured her, I said, this is the time when you need to do that.
Now, isn't Sarah also a writer?
Yes, and she used to be an editor. She was the director of public education in medicine for the American College of Physicians.
Can you tell us anything about your observations of Sarah as a mother now that she has her first child?
One of the most delightful things I've seen is, like you were mentioning about Val, her openness of just being wanting to learn.
From you.
Yes, and I just think that's amazing, and it certainly has been an honor and a privilege for me, and has made me be very careful about what I say, too, because she is so open and wanting to learn.
I think that's probably a key to the relationship between parents and their married children.
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful spirit of a younger person who actually wants to sit at the
yes.
feet of an older person. It seems like a rare quality today. But if instead of the younger person taking the attitude, okay, I've done everything your way all these years, now I'm going to do it my way, and I don't want you breathing down my neck. I don't want you on my back. Get out of my life. You know, if I want you, I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they never let you know that they do need you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there comes a tremendous wall between
yes.
the two, and the parents are sort of walking on eggs, and they don't know what they can say or what they can't
mm-hmm.
say, and they're dying to dish out all kinds of advice. So this just creates a tremendous barrier between them.
Whereas very painful.
Yes, and so painful. Whereas if it's done the other way around, that the young person actually asks for advice, then I think you and I, as the mothers, are much more cautious about dishing out advice, because of course it's a temptation. Any mother wants to, because I think the deepest desire of our hearts is to make life as easy as we can for our poor, hard-worked children. And after all, we have had a few years of experience that in which we've learned some things that we're sure would help them if they were willing to listen. So it's wonderful to know that there are some young people of that generation that are willing to listen to us. But may God help us to keep our mouths shut when they should be shut and to open them graciously when the time comes.
And I feel I'm learning so much from her and watching her. And, you know, Mrs. DeBose used to say we start from the shoulders of our parents. And I feel that each one of my children, hopefully, are going to do better than the way I've done.
Yes, Mrs. DeBose is that headmistress of the small boarding school that both Arlita and I attended in Florida. I've told about that a little bit on this program before. We learned many things from Mrs. DeBose that are quite unforgettable, didn't we, Arlita? Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.